Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, November the 7th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a Kent turkey farmers urged us not to panic despite rising cases of bird flu. Work's underway to create an event space at a nature reserve in Kent, and the Gillingham boss speaks for the first time about his heart surgery. But first, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. It looks like a derelict hotel will be turned into a petrol station and M&S food store. Kate's got more on this for the podcast. Kate, this is a very well-known site, isn't it?
Absolutely. Chances are, if you've ever driven along the A2 near Gravesend, you would have seen what remains of the old Tollgate Hotel. It closed way back in 2006 and has really fallen into disrepair, with aerial photos at Kent Online showing these sadly neglected buildings. It actually had to shut after being bought by National Highways as part of the A2 widening scheme. Part of it was demolished to allow the construction of a new slip road, and the site was eventually sold in May 2019.
So who's planning to develop it?
Well, BP first announced their plans for the 2.5-acre site back in August last year. They submitted an official application 2 months later, outlining proposals to demolish the existing building and build a new service stop. It would include 24 EV charging bays, a petrol station with 6 pumps, an M&S Simply Food and Wild Bean Cafe, along with parking. A decision on all of that was due in January, but it had to be delayed following an objection by roads bosses who had concerns about traffic accessing the site.
And what's happened since then?
Well, National Highways have now removed their objection after the applicants undertook further work to address concerns. The plans will be discussed by Gravesham Council's Planning Committee next week, and they have been recommended for approval. Planning officers have said there would be a clear and very positive benefit. They also highlighted how there's a need for more EV charging points in the borough.
Kate, thanks very much. And as we mentioned, you can see those aerial pictures within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Three teenagers accused of killing a man on a Sheppey beach have pleaded not guilty to murder. Alexander Cashford, who was 49, was found with multiple injuries in Laysdown in August. A 16-year-old girl and two boys aged 14 and 16 appeared in court via video link yesterday to enter pleas. They've been remanded back into custody. Two men have been charged with murder by police investigating the death of a man in Chatham. Charles Belsham, who was 43, was found with a stab wound at a house in Castle Road on Saturday. A 51 and 41-year-old have appeared in court and been remanded in custody. It's also being linked to a car being set alight in Walderslade and the theft of a vehicle in Palmerston Road. Another man's been charged with arson and handling stolen goods. People living in part of Ashford say they've been left terrified after youths randomly targeted a house in the early hours of the morning. They were caught on doorbell camera repeatedly banging on the door of the property in Dudley Road in Kennington on Tuesday. It's believed a silver Vauxhall Corsa or possibly a Ford Focus could be connected. Police want to hear from anyone with information. Now, a Kent turkey farmer has told us it's business as usual, despite restrictions coming in to try and stop the spread of bird flu. There's been at least one confirmed case in the county, with 60 birds having to be culled at the Happy Pants Animal Ranch near Sittingbourne. Well, the government has now issued a mandatory housing order, which means all birds must be kept indoors and separate from wild ones. Rebecca Howe is from John Howe Turkeys in Tenterden. She's been chatting to Kate.
We are understandably worried because if it hits your farm, it's devastating. That said, we aren't on any migratory flight paths. We're not near a big body of water, so we don't have the seabirds and everything that could, or water birds that could, can be an issue. So I touch wood as I say this, we're not really any more concerned right now than we would have been at the beginning of the season for us, but it's always there in the back of your mind.
And we had a press release through to say that the government have put out a mandatory housing order. How is that going to impact the things that happen at your farm?
It will impact in so much as what we really love to see, the birds running all over the place, all through the woodland, etc. So that side of it will be curtailed, which is sad. But we are so close now to starting Christmas production right at the end of this month. So it really is a small window of the birds' lifespan that they're going to be kept in. So we will do things to mitigate it for them. So there'll be things put inside all of the sheds and the polytunnels so that they can still explore around and they've got things to climb over and all of that side of things. Putting fresh straw down in the sheds will be a much more time consuming process. But other than that, really, it's business as usual.
So no other extra safety precautions or anything else like that being put in place, just to sort of, I suppose, safeguard yourselves for the coming months?
I think we will be much stricter about who is allowed onto the farm. It will be by necessity only, so feed lorries, staff, etc. But we usually have an open door policy. So if people from the public or our butcher customers want to come and see us, they're very welcome to come and have a look around and see the birds for themselves. Unfortunately, we have to put a pause on that. But otherwise, we have, since the last time bird flu reared its ugly head, we put extra precautions in then, and we have carried on with them. There's not really any practical changes for us because we've been very pedantic the whole way through anyway.
Do you feel like it's an appropriate response from the government to put these measures in place, given that the confirmed case that we had, it was at the Happy Pants Ranch? Are you satisfied that this is the right thing to do and that it's enough to safeguard farms, obviously not just in Kent, but across the country?
I think if they are concerned that it's spreading at a faster rate than they're able to cope with, then yes, it's got to be the right move. I think better to be safe than sorry. Because if it does hit your farm, it is absolutely devastating for that particular farmer. So I think anything that we can do to slow it down is a good thing. And for particularly for turkey farmers, it's such a short time now until Christmas. It's not really going to have that big an impact.
You mentioned as well Thanksgiving as well. I mean, I know it's not hugely celebrated in the UK, but there are those in the country that will be celebrating Thanksgiving. You're not expecting it to have any impact on those celebrations or, as you say, on Christmas Day?
I don't think it will have any impact at all. Actually, the worst thing last time round was the media response to it, with a lot of doom and gloom headlines of Christmas lunch is threatened, which I've seen a couple of them already this morning. And it really isn't a fair reflection of what's happening. If your farm were to get bird flu, it would be awful. And for that particular farm, it really would be a tragedy. But the nationwide, there are many, many turkey farmers. And the actual overall hit on the market, really, it wouldn't be felt. There wouldn't be any shockwaves. People will definitely be able to find a turkey for Christmas and for Thanksgiving. So there's nothing to worry about.
Kent Online reports.
A teenager's been taken to hospital following a suspected hit and run as he rode an e-scooter in Ramsgate. The 13-year-old boy suffered face, leg and feet injuries after it happened in Boundary Road 9 days ago. Police are trying to trace the driver of a white car that reportedly left the scene. A drug dealer's been jailed after he was found with heroin, crack cocaine and a hunting knife in Canterbury. Police stopped a suspicious vehicle in Kingsmead Road in March and also discovered two mobile phones and cash during a search. 24-year-old Khalid Ibrahim, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for 4 years. A man's been arrested after armed police were called to Sittingbourne. It followed reports of a person with a weapon yesterday. We're told a 41-year-old is in custody and investigations are continuing. A Canterbury-based clothing company has gone into administration, leaving around 1,400 customers out of pocket. Hutt Store was set up in 2011 and traded from Barton Business Park in the city. The insolvency firm, who've been appointed, say goods and services ordered before the company entered administration will not be supplied. They've advised customers to contact their bank for a refund. Now, councils across Kent and Medway have released five different suggestions of what local council reform could look like in future. The draft plans have been drawn up by all 12 of the local authorities in the county. A final decision rests with the Secretary of State, who'll then open a public consultation next year. We've been chatting to the leader of Medway Council, Vince Maple, who's been explaining more.
Across the region of Kent and Medway, we're now at a point where 14 cabinets, actually. They will go to full council, but the actual technical decision will sit with the cabinets across the 14 councils. So Medway Council was a unitary, Kent County Council was a county council, and then the 12 districts and boroughs. every one of the 14 of us will go through a process. And we've got in a position now where we've got five models which have been worked on. Obviously, I'm advocating for the one that's been worked on by Medway Council, working closely with our partners. But there are five options for councils to choose from. I think it's fair to say I anticipate that four of those five will probably have more than one council supporting them. I anticipate that the Kent County Council option of one council for nearly 2 million people won't get support from anybody other than Kent County Council. But they're 14 individual democratic processes. The councils will then make submissions to government, and there will be a covering statement from the 14 of us, hopefully. That will be sharing a key point of actually, we have been working very collaboratively. Actually, even when we've disagreed on the whole, we've disagreed agreeably. But actually, from my perspective, I'm really proud of the work that we've done collectively and collaboratively. And importantly, talking about the issue of devolution, which for me is absolutely the prize at the end of this process. Of course, moving to unitary authorities, I think, is the right thing to do for local government. I've only ever served on a unitary authority. I've never had to say to a resident in Chatham, "That's not me, you need the other councillor for Chatham." Of course, for most other bits of Kent, that has been the case. And occasionally, those two councillors can sometimes be the same person. So I think moving to unitary authorities is a good thing. And it makes local government far more straightforward for residents. They know their councillors, they can talk to them directly, whatever the issue will be.
So we've got these five options. Councils will then say which ones they prefer. So chances are you're not all going to come to an agreement on one option, but you'll submit what you would prefer to government. Is it government then who makes the overall choice for Kent?
So, really importantly, before government make that choice, it does sit with the Secretary of State ultimately and government. But really importantly, actually, there will be a period of consultation. Now, there hasn't been formal consultation so far. There's been engagement because of the way that the process is being carried out. And some of that engagement, again, has been done collectively through the 14 councils to raise the profile that this is happening. And I'm really supportive of that. So government will consult on the options being put forward. It'll be a relatively short period of time, probably somewhere between 6 and 8 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And I'd really encourage listeners and readers to make sure that they play their part. Although it's a government consultation, I'm hopeful that all 14 councils will support that process to encourage people to go to their local community areas where they'd often get information on local services. And that'll be one area they'll be able to get that information, as well, of course, as getting it online. And I know our colleagues at the KM Group will be really helpful in spreading that message during that period of time. We don't know the exact timetable yet. We know that will be in the spring, but we don't know the exact details. Of course, the councils will communicate that with government when we know that. And then importantly, government has committed to making the final decision by the summer recess next year. We know that's anticipated to be the 16th of July. So at some point on or before the 16th of July, we will all know what the future of local government will look like here across the region of Kent and Medway. And then we will have two other key milestones for residents to think about. In April 2028, the new councils will come into creation, whatever number of councils we have. But really importantly for residents, in May 2027, when we would be having elections across the vast majority of Kent and including Medway as well, we'd normally be having elections at that point. We will still have local government elections, but they will be for the new councils. So residents across the region will have their opportunity to put in place the leadership that they want for those new councils across the region. Again, we don't know at this stage how many councils that will be, and we don't know at this stage exactly what the warding will look like, so we don't know how many councillors individuals will have, but all of that will be worked through until we get to that point of the first Thursday in May 2027. 2027.
Staying in Medway in particular, and you might have noticed that flags that started to be attached to lampposts have now been removed. The council say flying them was breaching part of the Highways Act, so they've taken them down. The Union and St George Cross flags started appearing over the summer as part of the Raise the Colours movement. Some claimed it was patriotic, but others felt it made people from different countries feel uncomfortable.
Kent Online reports.
Tributes have been paid to a Maidstone man who was found dead after going missing for 3 days. 30-year-old Billy Lee Draper's family say he will be loved forever after his body was found in Marden on October the 15th. An inquest into his death will open in February. Two primary schools in Medway have sent letters to parents after separate cases of children bringing in small knives. Investigations have been carried out at Maundine Primary in Walderslade and Wayfield Primary in Chatham this week. No one was hurt and staff say they've taken all the appropriate action. A Gravesend man who's famous for pitch invasion stunts has been banned from going into football stadiums for 5 years. Daniel Jarvis has previously lined up alongside the England national team before posting videos online and claiming he did it to make people happy. With a 37-year-old from Turner House in Whitehill Road failed to attend the hearing at Maidstone Magistrates. A care home in Deal has been placed in special measures after CQC inspectors found the quality of care had deteriorated. Sonia Lodge Care Home was found to be in breach of 8 regulations and has been downgraded from good to inadequate. The home is run by Foxley Lodge Care Limited and provides support for up to 28 people, some of which are living with dementia. People living in Sandwich say they're deeply concerned over plans to relocate its long-serving postal delivery office. Royal Mail say the decision was made following an audit of services and moving operations to Canterbury will have no impact on customers. Locals say it comes at a time when the town is growing and fear the disruption will put pressure on vulnerable residents. Work's underway to convert an old toilet block on Sheppey into a brand new event space. Plans were originally submitted by the boss of Elmley Nature Reserve way back in 2017, but it was delayed because of COVID. Well, Gareth Fulton, who runs the site, says the building will help bring more visitors in, boosting the local economy.
We do several things at Elmley. The primary purpose of the place is as a national nature reserve, and that the land management and the farming is all geared towards having as much wildlife as possible. But at Kingshill Farm, it's where we try and give people a chance to be and stay and have an event. It's right in the heart of the reserve. And the corporate events and the weddings are really popular, and we just wanted another space to really enhance it and make it even better, and also allow us to do more in the winter months.
So can you sort of describe what it is, what it will function as?
Yeah, sure. So we get groups anything from sort of 5 to 50 or even more staying at Elmley. And we have a range of spaces from a wonderful old Kentish barn to bird watching hides for them to use. And so this building will be like a wonderful multi-purpose event space. So it's got a huge glazed window looking over the landscape of the reserve, amazing views all across the south of the island. And it's kind of uninterrupted of water and grass and the wildlife. So it's quite an amazing setting. So the building will be used for anything those events want to do, whether it's workshops, it's a party, and it'll have a bar and things, or it might be a wedding ceremony for a smaller wedding or a winter wedding. It just gives us that option that if the weather closes in, we've got somewhere to go, other than the very old barn. But we're quite lucky on Sheppey because it's one of the driest places in the country, so it doesn't tend to rain that often.
And what's the sort of timeline like? Has construction started? When you guys set to finish?
Yeah, we've broken ground and the foundations are in. The building will be ready for next spring. So we're hoping to have our first event in the first week of May.
And what's the sort of timeline like? Has construction started? When you guys set to finish?
Yeah, we've broken ground and the foundations are in. The building will be ready for next spring. So we're hoping to have our first event in the first week of May.
Obviously, this new sort of addition, will it, help boost the local economy, sort of help you guys out, keep revenue going?
Yeah, so hopefully it'll keep us growing, really. I mean, we started out with one employee in 2014. And I think we peaked at 65 staff in COVID when we had restaurants and all the rest of it, and a cafe. And actually, we've sort of tailored back a little bit after COVID when we had a little bit of a slump. But we employ 35 people now. The event space will allow us to do more throughout the year. So some of those part-time guys will just get more hours in the winter. And allow us to do bigger events and more of them. So we'll be definitely providing more hours to our team and do more business. So yes, it's all positive in that front.
And you can see pictures of what it might look like today by heading to the website. And Kent actress Mia McKenna-Bruce is going to star in the new Beatles movie. The BAFTA winner who went to Maidstone Girls Grammar will play Maureen Starkey, Ringo Starr's first wife, along with four biopics directed by Sam Mendes. The musicians themselves will be played by Barry Keoghan, Paul Mescal, Joseph Quinn and Harris Dickinson.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and the Gillingham manager has revealed more about his heart surgery and why it couldn't wait. Gareth Ainsworth was found to have a murmur during a routine health check. He had planned surgery at the start of last month, but returned to training this week.
And it was picked up by the stethoscope, and I thought the stethoscope was just a bit of a tick box exercise, but actually no, it does pick up some serious stuff. So they said, you have a heart murmur, and I couldn't believe it. I said, no chance. And lo and behold, I did. I heard it myself, and then more tests revealed that probably had about 50% of my blood flow going back into my heart, which was quite a big amount, you know. And so the valve was damaged and needed fixing. So I did suggest maybe wait until the end of the season, and it raised a few eyebrows, no less in my owners here and the doctors as well. And they said, look, go and get this done. This sometimes goes bang, and you don't want that to happen. So, so again, brilliant that they've detected it. Went in, fantastic hospital down in Southampton, all fixed, all did. You know, quite a big operation, but nice scar to show off now. But all fixed inside, and now building the fitness back up and building up to where I was. But I would urge everybody to go and get checked. You know, and if they put that stethoscope on your chest, then. Don't think it's just a run-of-the-mill thing. That does pick up some serious stuff, and thankfully all's good now. Like I said, I'm out of breath now and again, and can get a little bit breathless, but that's just like to be able to have the insides messed about with. So we've got to make sure that I build back up, and I will. But as I say, it's back now. I'm back in, and it's about the boys, and the boys have been absolutely brilliant. They've all loved me being back, and looking forward to getting going again. And I had some great messages off fans, and not just Gillingham fans, but fans in football. And thank you very much. It's good. But go and get checked if you haven't been checked. Yeah, they're important, these checks.
Great to hear Gareth back at the club, and he will be at tomorrow's game at Bristol Rovers, although won't be in the dugout just yet. Well, the side will be looking to end a run of five games without a win in League Two. Tomorrow's match follows last Saturday's exit from the FA Cup at Newport County on penalties. We can hear now from striker Seb Palmer-Holden.
The mood's really good, really. I think we've been unlucky with results. Obviously, even the Newport game I thought were very good, and it comes down to a penalty shootout where it's like, you're in the luck of the gods. It's unfortunate, and we go out on that, but it makes us look forward to the league. It's great to have the gaffer back with us this week. The buzz he brings is amazing. Obviously, Dobbo's been brilliant for us the time he's been out, but it's really good to have him back, yeah. So the move's brilliant, I'd say.
But Gareth brings that raw energy and passion, doesn't he? So not having him on the sidelines must make a little bit of difference, but that said, performances have been pretty good. We just haven't really had the rub of the green.
I know. I think we've had loads of shots each game. I think we've just been unfortunate. I think they had like two shots, maybe three shots on target at Newport, and we're going in. So I think we just got to keep staying positive, and hopefully this weekend we can get a good result. But going to the gaffer is so good to see him face. Obviously, he's gone through a massive procedure on his heart, and just to see him come up the other side, just to even have him is really good. Really good for all of us.
Looking back at Newport, you scored pretty much at the death to force a penalty shootout. It seemed like the momentum was on our side, but I guess pens is always a lottery, isn't it?
Oh yeah, like I said, pens are a lottery. On my, like, for a personal note, it was good to get a goal again, but No, it was. We shouldn't put ourselves in that position. I think we should. I think Gailey has a chance. We've had a few chances in the end of the actual game. I think if we put some away, we can clean that game up and move on. But at the end of the day, that's in the past, and we've got to look forward.
Of course, it's to Bristol Rovers. I think we're going to take over 1,000 fans to Bristol. It's an incredible following. Really, be fantastic to get a result.
Oh yeah, look, the following we've had all year has been amazing. The fans have been brilliant for us, and to get a result down in Bristol, which is, I know, it's a long journey for me going back and forth. It'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant to get 3 points and get back on winning run and get some momentum going forward.
You'll be able to follow the match updates at Kent Online tomorrow. We'll also have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM on Sunday, and more in-depth analysis in Monday's podcast. On to rugby now, and Kent Spurnell and Alex Mitchell have kept their places in the England side for the second autumn international. They're taking on Fiji at Twickenham tomorrow. Kickoffs at 5:40. On to ice hockey, and Kent's Invicta Dynamos have one game in South Division 1 this weekend. They're travelling to take on Cardiff Fire. Face-off on Saturday is at 7. And finally, the London City Lionesses are in WSL action on Sunday. The side which trains in Aylesford is hosting Tottenham. Kick-off with that one is at 11:55. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the very latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.